papers to get scattered out here this morning. So greetings to each one this morning. I want to say happy Father's Day to each of your dads this morning. And I have something I'm going to read here. Maybe it's just because I'm nervous, so a little laughter for me. It was about dads, and I saw this as I was studying. It said, when the good Lord created fathers, he started with a tall frame. A female angel nearby said, what kind of father is that? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why have you put the father up so high? He won't be able to shoot marbles without kneeling, tuck a child into bed without bending, or even kiss a child without stooping. God smiled and said, yes, if I make him child size, who would children have to look up to? When God made the father's hands, they were large. The angel shook her head and said, large hands can't manage diaper pins, small buttons, rubber bands on ponytails, or even remove splinters from baseball bats. Again, God smiled and said, I know, but they're large enough to hold everything from as a small boy empties his pockets, yet small enough to cup a child's face in them. Then God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders. Do you realize you just made a father without a lap? The angel chuckled. God said, a mother needs a lap. A father needs strong shoulders to pull a sled, to balance a boy on a bicycle, or hold a sleepy head on the way home from the circus. When God was in the middle of creating the biggest feet that anyone had ever seen, the angel could not contain herself. That's not fair. Do you honestly think those feet are going to get out of bed early in the morning when the baby cries? Or walk through a birthday party without crushing one or two of the guests? God again smiled. They will work, you will see. They will support a small child who wants to ride to Branberry Cross or scare mice away from a summer cabin or display shoes that will be a challenge to fill. God worked through the night, giving the father few words, a firm authority voice, eyes that see everything but remain calm and tolerant. Finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears. Then he turned to the angel and said, now are you satisfied? He can love as much as a mother can. The angel said nothing more. This morning, men, you are all made special. God made you, and each one has a special place. Today, I've struggled with being up here this morning, and while I look around and I see a lot of you sitting here that have fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers that gave you a lot of training, sometimes that's not always the way it is for everyone. And as I look at some of y'all, you have a lot more experience, a lot more wisdom, a lot more training than what I have. Yet this morning, as we look at Father's Day, Sam alluded to this a little bit last Sunday evening when he talked about the word father versus a dad. And a dad in the English language is someone who listens to the children, is emotionally supportive, whose children rely on him when things grow wrong. A father is basically a genetic connection to the child. Now we'll see in culture that can change. If we look in scripture, we see God referring to us as our father. And yet, if you look how the scriptures talk about God being our father, he is one that is very involved in us. He cares about every piece of our life, everything that happens, and that, in the English language, would be called dad. In the world we live in today, in our society, there are a lot of people that do not have a dad. You will hear statements today like, my father moved away. I spent time with my dad during the week. Dad has become an emotional attachment established by the child through foster care, adoption, stepfamilies, or by creating a nurturing figure in the child in their life because dad is gone. A dad is one who chooses to be involved, commits himself to being there for his children, physically and emotionally. Our world today need dads. I don't know if y'all remember the last time I preached, where I read from. Austin and Amy, we'll give you weren't here, so you get a free pass on that one. I read from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 9, or actually Deuteronomy 6, I read a lot more than that. This morning, I'm going to read Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 through 9 again. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This morning, as we read Deuteronomy and where it talks about writing on the doorposts, on the frontlets, if you were to go back and look in the Jewish, in their tradition, they would have what they call phylacteries, and they would be small leather boxes that were strapped to their arm, to their forehead, and they contained God's law, and they were to remind them daily as they went about what they were doing, what of God's law. The mezuzah was a scripture that was written on a parchment and attached to the doorpost to remind them as they came in and went out of their house their obligation to God. Now, we may not walk around with the boxes on our arms, on our foreheads, but what do we do to remind us as we go through life? So this morning, my mind was kind of going, as you go from day to day, you leave a message. Especially dads, you leave a message with your children. I asked the younger classes to, if they would write something down, what dad has taught them. And this is kind of as you go from day to day, what they pick up, what they learn from you. One of them says he taught me to, actually, I don't know, I don't have the name, so I don't know who wrote the different ones, but taught me how to fish, how to drive a motorcycle. Another one says taught me how to drive, how to do mechanic work. He taught me. Can't quite read that one. How to drive four-wheeler. And another class was how to fish, how to wrestle, how to hit a ball. How to ride a horse. How to drive a four-wheeler. How to become a Christian. How to feed animals, the dogs, rabbits, and chickens. Dads, they're learning something from you, even if you're not thinking about it. The next question I asked them then is something you wish your dad would teach you. There's one, I wish dad would teach me how to drive his motorcycle, how to do mechanic work. I think this one is also how to fishing. I believe that was one of them that was supposed to be on how to do it. Another class, how to play baseball the real way, how to draw, how to set barns, how to ride a big horse, how to ride a big bike, how to ride a dirt bike. Another one, how to drive cars and trucks, and how to make a chicken coop. There are many things the young ones are looking to us as dads to teach. And there are many things that we will teach our children as we go through life that they will never forget. As I look around, Kevin's not running a combine anymore, but I don't think it would take him long if he got in one. He'd know right how to do it. Or Curtis, an excavator. That's not what he does right now, but I don't think he'd have a problem running one. There are many things that we learn from our parents. And these things are learned by repetition, by seeing it over and over, doing it over and over again. I was just thinking as you go back home to where you were born, it's interesting. It can be years down the way, and yet you know right how to go right back to your house. Repetition, we learn a lot of things. So as a father, as a dad, what are we teaching our children? We could teach them how to do many things in life. What are we teaching about God? There's three different areas that I want to talk about this morning as a godly father that are, say, necessary or very important. And the first one is to teach. And today, there's two ditches that are easy to get into. One of them, we can teach by example. We just go about doing what we do, and they should learn, and they should figure out how to live. The other one is we teach them everything, we tell them everything, and yet we don't live it by example. And there's a good balance between both. But as we go through life, as we do what we do, my mind had to go to Joshua 4. As the Israelites crossed the Jordan, they were to pick up 12 stones, and they were to carry them with them. And these stones were to serve twofold purpose. The first one was it was a conversation piece. As the children would see these stones, they would ask questions. And they would be explained on how God had carried them out of Egypt and carried them into the promised land. The second purpose was to remind even the older ones of God's mighty hand and God's good deeds that he had done to them. And it would be a reminder to them as they go from day to day. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's not saying that the children will do everything just like you did, just like I did. Each child has a free choice and has to choose who they will serve. And yet, we leave them with God's principles that they will remember, kind of like coming back to your house years later and you know exactly where to go. God says this about Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 18. He says, "Seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." And then God says this, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do just and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of." This was when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet he said about Abraham that he will teach and he will guide, command his children, his household after God. There is a story of a school teacher that asked students to draw a picture. And there's a quote that says this, "It has been rightly said that a child is not likely to find a father in God, unless he finds something of God in his father. The teacher asks the children to draw a picture of God. Towards the end of the class, they were excited to show their work. They came up with rainbows, men with big hands. Finally, the daughter of the teacher showed her picture, a man with a suit and a tie on. She said this, "I don't know what God looks like," she said, "so I just drew my daddy instead." What an awesome responsibility if children could think of their fathers in this way. Teaching comes not just by instruction, but by a healthy balance of example and teaching, an example of living it out. Great men are not born, but molded by their fathers and their fathers before them. The second, it's a vital part for a godly dad, is praying for your children. David here was praying that the people would remember God, including his son. In 1 Chronicles 29, 18 through 20, he was praying for the people, and he said this about Solomon. He said, "And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statute, to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision." And then David said to all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God," and all the congregation blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers. Another one of my favorites, I think, is Job. If you look in Job, verse 1, and for you older ones, that your children are all gone, if you think your work is over, you say, well, the children are on their own now, it's still there. You continue to pray for your children. As Job in 1:5, it says about his children, and they, after, it said, "It was so when the days of their fasting was gone about, Job sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Job was constantly worried, constantly concerned about his children. And he did what he could. He prayed for them or looked out for them through prayer. There was a quote on prayer in a child's life. It says, "Children who know that their dads pray for them every day own a deep sense of love and security." Fathers, let your children know you are praying for them. As we pray for our children, God will point us to areas in our lives that can change and influence our children. The third one is compassion. Dads never give up on their children. Psalm 103:13, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." Also in Luke 15, 11 through 20, it says, "And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed his swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," as we say, when he came to himself, he began to remember what he had been taught. His father had diligently taught him. Now he began to remember, and he said, "Now how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." The father had already forgiven. He had given him the tools and was waiting. Be faithful. Don't give up. When we are faithful in teaching the ways of God, we can rest assured that your precepts will not be forgotten. So dads, teach with a good balance of example and teaching. Pray for your children. Pray with them. Let them know you are praying for them. Have compassion. They will make mistakes, but be like the Father, forgiving, waiting with open arms. Again, we see Psalm 103:13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. We've all made mistakes, and God is waiting right there as a father. There was a story in the Christian Living. It was written in 2016, and this is the opposite of someone that grew up with a godly father. As we look at the impression that it leaves on a child as how they view God, it says, I was 25 years old before I could say the word father while praying. The word was foreign to me. It didn't roll off my tongue the way it did for many Christian friends. It felt like a word from a foreign language. It meant nothing. It was gibberish. But in another, it meant a world of things. Amid the culture barriers, it still hit a nerve, because while it meant nothing, it meant everything. It meant broken things, scary things, hurtful things. How was I supposed to use a word that, for me, brought up to mind everything a parent shouldn't be when I was in a conversation with God, whom I had been told was everything my dad wasn't? How was I supposed to call God by a name that I hadn't used for most of my life? A name that didn't mean to me what I knew Scripture insisted God is. For me to call God Father was like calling an apple an orange. They didn't mix. Sure, I knew God was a father, but how was I sure he wasn't like my father? In the Bible, the family unit gives us a picture of how God relates to us, his children. We understand God like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, welcomes us home to be with him through the sacrifice of Christ. He desires a relationship with his children. He cares for us. We know we're able to understand the nature and character of love because God loved us first. In Christ's prayer, in John 17, we learn that God desires us to be with him. Together as a family, in this regard, our earthly father gives us a picture, a shadow, of what the God Father truly is like. Dads want to be with their children. They want to spend time with them, to care for them, to love them. They want their children to know how much they would risk to protect them. Dads want children to know what they do if they lost them. This is what dads do. So for a child of God, it should be pretty great that God is like a dad, right? For the fatherless, this isn't good news. We're fearful of the shadow God has set in place, the result. We're frightened by the God, the Father, because we're terrified of our earthly fathers. How we come to God without fear when we're scared to go home when dad is there. How we understand God's love and faithfulness when dad left town because he loves someone or something more than us. How can God be a mighty fortress of protection when dad hits instead of hugs? How can God be a firm foundation and trust assurance when dad built in us a mountain of disappointment and security? It's devastating that the very thing God has given us to reflect his love and mercy and faithfulness is the very thing keeping many from crawling into their heavenly father's lap. I'm almost 31, and this is still a daily fight. It's a fight to trust God thinks of me differently than my dad did. It's a fight to not assume God's enjoy disciplining more than blessing me. It's a fight not to think God is mad at me more than that he delights in me. What changed for me was recalibration. It took reorientation for me to move forward in trusting the Lord and calling him Father. What do I mean? Instead of looking at my dad and then back at God, I learned to look at God first. I realized if God wasn't my first source of fatherhood, I was always going to be off balance. If I didn't start with God, then he would always be the replica rather than the original. This recalibration took turning Scripture to fill my mind with the true nature of God instead of turning on the empty shadow first. Through his gracious word, he showed me he delights to lavish mercy. He doesn't stay angry. He takes my wrongs and faults and covers them in his Son. Since his grace and mercy are new each day, I don't wake up tiptoeing around his presence. I can run to him freely and confidently. Moreover, he doesn't hang shortcomings over my head. He treats me with a constant grace. Through Christ, he has made a way for me to know and enjoy him. He can be found. He isn't hiding. He didn't leave. In fact, he came looking for me to rescue me from brokenness. He hasn't given up on me. In the Son, I see the Father isn't hiding. On a cross, he proved he came for me. On a cross, he proved that unlike any shadow we've seen, he alone always keeps his promises and always make good on his commitments. Push into Scripture, don't run away. I found my Heavenly Father is truly like any dad I've ever known. He isn't mad. He isn't coming home waiting to punish me. He's waiting to shower me with mercy and grace. As I read his story, how blessed we are to have the heritage, to have the training that we have. And we can look at God, and he is a perfect Father, full of mercy, just waiting and wanting to help you and I. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua was calling to the people, and he said, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This Father's Day, may we all choose, as Joshua did, that I will serve the Lord. I will do my best. Dads, may God bless each of you as you exemplify God the Father to those that he's entrusted into your care. Scott, do you have a song? Okay, 130 in the Faith and Praise, if you'll stand. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can look to you today. Thank you for being our Father, for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your arms wide open for each of us. God, I thank you today for the heritage, the training that we have been given, the example our fathers have left us. God, I pray that you would be with each one of us fathers as we train, teach our children. Give us much wisdom, give us patience, and help us to teach them that they could look at us and see a father and see an example of you. I pray that you would bless each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen.